Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Recovery efforts continue. Potomac River, just off the runway of the Reagan Washington National International Airport, after the mid-air collision last night, shortly before 9 p.m., between an American Airlines jet, the American Eagle, 5342, with 60 passengers, four crew members on board, and a Black Hawk helicopter, an Army of three missing there. So the recovering efforts, I think they're at 30 now. And great challenges, because the water temperature there is at 36 degrees. And they've been doing this, obviously, since 9 o'clock last night. And we found out that now, along with American figure skaters who were on board, their coaches and family members who were coming from Wichita, also, Russian state media confirming Russian figure skaters and coaches were also on board. And we'll continue to bring you details as we work our way through the morning. Yesterday, now this was one of the most anxiety-filled stories of the week, when President Trump signed an executive order pausing federal grants and loans. Then a federal judge paused the pause until Monday, but yesterday, President Trump retracted that. So that's what ended up being. So we're going to get details coming from Washington.
That's all I have. Thank you.
So I would like to say that Director Jesse Romo, City Manager Bob Layton, and several council members were at the airport last night as the CARE team got activated. I also learned from American Airlines this morning that additional CARE team members have come to Wichita and will be providing support for families as well as crew members. I am in direct contact with American Airlines to find out the confirmed information to provide to all of you. But I want to reiterate that any information should go to their hotline, especially for families. And that number that Jesse said already, but I will remind everyone to use again, is 1-800-679-8215. In addition, this afternoon at high noon, the Wichita City Council, in contact with the Greater Wichita Ministerial League and multiple faith leaders in Wichita, will be coming together for a community-wide prayer. And we ask that anyone who would like to join us to come to City Hall here in downtown Wichita for that community prayer. All are welcome. At this time, our community needs to come together to support the family members who have been impacted, to come together in honor of those individuals on that flight. And as a council, we will lead in bringing this community together to pray for our community, but also move our community to know that there are resources. And as a city, we will have additional resources, especially for staff who have been impacted. And I am again grieving with everyone in our community and those in Washington, D.C., due to this very tragic incident that happened. We will take a few questions at this time.
Do you know how many of the passengers are Wichita residents versus traveling back home to D.C. or somewhere else?
At this time, we don't have that information, and I know that we don't have the manifest at this moment.
Have you spoken with any family or friends of people on the plane?
The care team was activated last night, and one family was there. And I want to say thank you to our local media partners who were respectful here in Wichita. That says a lot about our community. The care team was there to provide comfort for that family, and the council members were also there to provide comfort for them. But at this time, that is all we have in regards to family members.
Do you know how many families did show up last night?
Only one.
Everything normal at the beginning of this flight taking off from Wichita?
Say that again.
Was the flight normal taking off?
I will have Jesse.
We're listening to officials in Wichita, Kansas.
Yes, to our knowledge, everything occurred as normal, so there was no abnormality to the operation.
Will this flight continue as normal tonight, or is this flight on hold? Any changes at all?
I know Reagan National was shut down for a while. They have plans to reopen the airport, and I haven't heard yet when exactly they're going to open, and I haven't heard specifically for this flight. But if we do have additional information, that will come from American as well. And so if folks are looking to fly on that route, just need to continue to check with American Airlines.
Jesse, how many seats were on
Well, good word. The configuration depends, you know, for each aircraft, but it is approximately about 75 seats normally, and I would have to get specifics on that aircraft, but I don't have that at this time.
Has there been any contact with Bombardier, especially with this being an airplane?
No.
Know whether where they are in the process of contacting all the families?
No, we do not. And, you know, most of this incident occurred at D.C. and is being managed by the local partners and federal agencies that are responding in the D.C. area. But as was asked earlier, the manifest will be managed by American Airlines, and that information will be disseminated through their official sources as well as NTSB.
I know you said the flight was operating.
I don't believe so. I don't have that information, but I can look into that.
Can you tell us anything about figure skaters, obviously, that were on the flight? We just hosted the U.S. National Championships on social media. A lot of figure skaters coming out just hoping for the best, anything.
I understand that some of that information is out there on social media or through other media outlets, but it's not information that we can share at this time.
Mayor, can you talk about, we've heard from a few folks about how big this last weekend was with the U.S. Figure Skating Championship being held here in Wichita and all of these young Olympic hopefuls, which would have grazed our living room in the future. Can you talk about just how big of an event this past weekend was and what it meant for the city to have these young skaters here in town?
It was truly an honor to have future Olympians and those who are at the highest competition level of figure skating right here in the Air Capital. We were so excited to have the opportunity to host the national championship. And even yesterday, I had folks tell me how wonderful these last few days have been with additional individuals that came into our community, whether to watch or to participate. So our community was really excited and thankful that everything went well with the championship. And so right now, we're just waiting for more information from U.S. Figure Skating that we can release. But right now, we're just hoping and praying again.
How do family and friends of someone get in touch with you all? I know there's a phone number for American, but if they want to connect with the local care team and they don't want to go to the airport, how do they do that?
They can reach out to the airport administration building. I'm going to look that up because all of a sudden sleep deprivation kicked in and my mind went blank on the phone number, but Let me respond back to you in just a second.
Should affected families be coming to the airport, or are you urging them to stay at home? What should they do?
Everyone responds to a tragic incident a little differently, and so if they do feel that they would be more comfortable in the terminal or coming out there to the airport, we're ready to help support them in any way we can. But there isn't any more information that we can share that they're already being shared with directly by the airline, and so they may want to stay at home as well.
Three one six 946 4700
is the airport administration building.
Also, again, Kansas State leader's been in contact with the U.S. Army about the helicopter. Can you speak about that a little bit?
Not about the helicopter.
Not about the helicopter. I have been in contact with several of our federal legislators who, again, are sending their condolences, but this was very early. That was yesterday or last night. In regards to any additional investigation, I don't have any.
Last evening, Senator Moran was in contact with the U.S. Department of Defense officials regarding your question, but also NTSB leadership, the CEO of American Airlines, and U.S. Department of Transportation leadership as well.
Closely will you all represent the United States and Senator Moran work with the NTSB and the FAA to
kind of
stabilize and getting to the bottom of what happened?
Well, obviously there's a lot of information to gather around this process in terms of the flight plans and the incidents, what's happened, as well as what they discover through the recovery efforts. It's going to take some time, I know, for NTSB and the investigation team to go through that process. And so there'll be probably some slow release of information as they discover it and work through that. And I know that's frustrating for all of us to actually wait and not have the answers at our fingertips. Obviously, we're reaching out from our office, and both of the senators were in D.C. at the press conference last night, working through that as well. As I mentioned, I spoke last night with the chairwoman of the National Transportation Safety Board, and so she's got a team there at DCA and working together that information. So we'll keep in constant contact as we try to go through that.
Congressman, I assume you've been on this flight several times in the last year. Does it give you pause in terms of the amount of traffic? I know there's a lot of talk this morning about the amount of air traffic around Reagan National. Does this give you pause about that situation and how that's managed right now?
No, this particular flight's been in process for over a year, in use for over a year now. Obviously, it's important for us as a community to have connections, have a direct flight, particularly, you know, one of the most commonly routes that's traveled to in Washington, D.C. Obviously, with the Reagan Airport situated there on the river right across from Washington, D.C., there are some twists and turns that pilots and planes have to make as they're coming in and out of that airport. So it does require skill of the pilot to work through that. I don't have any hesitation. I know the major runway there at Washington Reagan is I think it's the busiest in the country for any one runway. The flight last night was on the secondary runway through that process, which is a little bit shorter, which is more appropriate for a plane the size of the CRJ that was flying in there. So there's always going to be that process as they're, whether they're coming from the south, as it was last night, or on the approach from the north. But I wouldn't hesitate to continue to fly in and out of Washington Reagan Airport, and including on this particular flight and with this particular plane.
Officials in Wichita, Kansas, live discussing the mid-air collision last night over the Potomac River in our nation's capital. That said, this morning, the Secretary of Transportation, Sean Duffy, told the press when asked, obviously, is this type of mid-air collision preventable? He said, quote, we're going to wait for all the information to come in from this vantage point. But what I've seen so far, so do I think this was preventable? Absolutely. The secretary agreeing with President Donald Trump's post on social media, saying also, quote, should have been prevented. Apparently, there have been discussions because it's such a busy air corridor with the White House, the Capitol, the airport, and the sensitivity with the Pentagon in that region about limiting flights. And so that'll be part of the discussion that you will hear. Bottom line, though, 64 people, 60 passengers, 4 crew members on the American Airlines jet, and 3 of our nation's soldiers on the Black Hawk helicopter. And we'll check in with Marty Griffin here in this half hour. Larry Richard, the Big K Morning Show. We go live to our nation's capital from Bloomberg, reporter Andrew O'Day. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Larry.
Very challenging day for a lot of people. And as I understand it, you actually live very close to where this crash took place.
I do, and actually for many years, I lived on what used to be called Bolling Air Force Base, now Joint Base Anacostia-Bolling, and it is on the east side of the Potomac River, directly across from Reagan National Airport. And we every day got a kind of a front row view of just how tricky it is for airliners to come in and out of that airport. Not only, of course, do you have the incredibly long approach coming in and out of the airport that is a long approach in the air in which planes go directly over the Pentagon, over the White House. They turn off and go over the Capitol, but also as planes are taking off and landing on the west side of the Potomac at National Airport, on the east side, you have chopper traffic. Marine One, the presidential chopper, for example, is headquartered at this base, and you have choppers coming in and out at all times, and it's a tricky situation for pilots of commercial airliners and also of military aircraft trying to negotiate what is a very small space.
I remember, and it hasn't been that long, actually a couple of months ago, landing there, coming back home to Pittsburgh, and yeah, you're kind of surprised how close you really are to everything.
Yeah, it's close to the city center, and you get kind of a million-dollar view looking out the window. It's quite beautiful if you're not worried about the safety aspect of things. It's a busy airport. It's a very popular airport in part because members of Congress love to use it. It's far closer than the area's other airports for getting folks in and out of town. And of course, in Washington, you're talking about a lot of very high-level people.
Apparently, and this wouldn't be daily conversation, certainly for us here in Pittsburgh, but there's a lot of talk about the busy airspace and trying to limit so that something like this wouldn't happen because of such a challenge to land there and because of the active military and all the things that go into making this one of the most congested areas for an airport in the country.
You're absolutely right about that. And, of course, immediately following 9/11, it moved from not only being one of the most congested areas, but also one of the most secure areas in which there are all kinds of regulatory hurdles through which anyone who flies needs to jump to make sure they are ensuring not only aircraft safety, but also safety for people on the ground in the times following 9/11. And yeah, the airport was not designed for this many aircraft to fly in and out, and it was not designed for some of the largest aircraft that are flying in and out. And unlike airports that are in large open areas, this cannot be expanded. It has buildings on one side, it has the river on the other side, and just north and just south of the primary runway, not the one that was used by this American Airlines craft, you have water inlets, so you can't make the runways any bigger. So you're very limited by that, as well as by so close to the city center and so congested there.
And apparently, this happened just 300 feet above the Potomac River as the American Airlines Flight 5342 was on final approach. And there is video from a distance to see that there was a collision, and apparently the Black Hawk helicopter was found upside down in the river, and the American Airlines jet broke apart into pieces, and no survivors And we're talking about 67 souls in total.
Yes.
This will open, I'm sure, the discussion again about the busy airport and the corridor there. Who knows what will change, but tough to see this, and this is so rare. It's been since 2009 we've had a commercial airline crash in this country, and that one was near Buffalo, as you might recall.
I do. One thing that we have seen a bit of an uptick in, though, in recent years are what we might want to call near misses, suggesting that there are issues and have been issues regarding some congestion, aircraft, you know, lots of aircraft in small spaces, and that I think is going to get a look as well. The fact that we have not had crashes between 2009 and now of this type is very fortunate, but there have been a few moments in which we, for lack of a better word, would have to consider ourselves fortunate.
And American Airlines CEO Robert Isom said this morning.
This is a difficult day for all of us at American Airlines, and our efforts now are focused entirely on the needs of our passengers, crew members, partners, first responders, along with their families and loved ones.
And he added that the pilots on this regional, so it's American Airlines, they call it American Eagle, operated by PSA, were very experienced. Isom said the captain had 6 years with PSA, first officer 2 years, and then that the Black Hawk helicopter was on some sort of training mission or exercise. That said, we are anticipating in about an hour and now 18 minutes that the airport will reopen. Is that what you're hearing?
Yes, that's my understanding. They were talking at right about 11 o'clock. I do not know what level of service they're going to be providing. Obviously, anyone who is going to be flying in and out of that airport or making any plans to go in that direction really needs to check with the airlines to be sure their particular flights are going to be operating.
Andrew, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, from Bloomberg, reporter Andrew O'Day. And if you missed the first part of our conversation, he lives just right across the river from where this mid-air collision took place. We also now know American figure skaters, coaches, and family members who were attending a camp in Wichita, the origination of the flight, were on board, and Russian state media confirming that Russian figure skaters and coaches were also on board. And now, our nation's capital regarding this mid-air collision tragedy. In the meantime, yesterday was a big day. A lot of people had high anxiety because of Donald Trump's pause on federal grants and loans. The pause was paused by a federal judge supposed to hear arguments Monday, but then yesterday that was rescinded, and I guess they're going to reevaluate the details of that. And then what about the offer to buy out federal employees? 8 months of pay. They'll pay you through September if you want to leave. Joining me is Mr. Marty Griffin. Well, Marty, good morning.
Man, this crash, man. Let's just make sure people understand, though, because everybody will freak out. And if you're on your way to the airport, you're freaking out. This is the truth. There have been 150 million flights since the last crash of this sort.
It's actually remarkable.
You have a much greater chance of being hit by lightning. I'm serious. And a much greater chance of dying in a car accident or a fall. Doesn't help people today. And it's certainly a horrible tragedy. We're not dismissing that. But just so people understand, this is extremely rare. I have been talking to my insiders about this, and there's a lot of information coming in, but let me throw a couple things at. Let me throw something at you that's actually kind of wild, Larry.
Okay.
And we're going to get into this. I'm scrolling to get to this. So, according to my guys that work these cases and that are also pilots, and I don't know this stuff. I'm an idiot. As far as electronics, they have a system on these jets that will prevent mid-air collision using commands. The computer does the calculations and then it warns them. However, the system is disabled below 1,200 feet. So below 1,200 feet, it's kind of, what are you seeing? What are you getting from communications people? It's only information that you get is that traffic is near. No directional commands due to low altitude. And here's the other thing I'm told. And a lot of this is, you know, happening as we speak, so the information changes. I'm told that because of, boy, we heard this before, Larry, staffing shortages, air traffic controllers, that in particular, at that time of night, you got one guy doing a lot of things because it's generally what they would describe, Larry, as a slow time of night. And right now, if they're going to make a call, and they're not specifically going to make a call, they're going to tell you that this is a communications issue. And that's what happened. And you're kind of flying. I know, of course, I don't know this stuff. I'm an idiot. But so below 1,200 feet, it's kind of, and this, obviously this was below 1,200 feet.
Yeah, at this point, it was suggested it was about 300 feet right short of the runway.
I'm no expert, and I have flown in there many times.
Oh,
it does come to mind how close you are to the water, actually.
You're close to everything, right?
Yeah.
You fly in there, and you've got the White House, the Capitol, the Pentagon. You could see all this stuff as you're making that. They make a fairly dramatic turn on some of those runways to get in.
Let me say this. So this is, again, from my insiders, and this is all the beginning of this stuff, and we're going to get into this as well, Larry. I would say that the airplane was on a visual approach. That would make sense. Which means the controller's responsibility is lessened and placed more on the pilot. That's fascinating. It's the pilot's choice to accept a visual approach. Also, if the military helicopter was using night vision goggles, that could be a factor. And if they're going to make a call, they're going to say in all likelihood, this will end up. And again, this is all very anecdotal and very military error. Because they're saying, right, this pilot sees where he's landing,
he's
as you just said,
final,
Larry.
Final approach.
He's 400 feet. What did you say, 400 feet?
300.
Come on, man.
That's real close.
You're touching the runway with your foot.
That's a couple of seconds till you're on the runway.
And so all of a sudden, you hit a helicopter. And I've seen all kinds of, and I remember, and again, I'm no expert, and I haven't been in there a lot, but we have been there several times for work and to hang out there. It's interesting, Larry, because you do see military helicopters flying all over the place because it is
right
Washington, D.C., and it is the Pentagon.
Including Marine One, which lands on the White House lawn.
There is, as this show evolves, though, we've got more to get to. There are a significant number of what I would describe as, and as you would know as, Larry, moderates in Pittsburgh. Moderate Democrats who are legit Trumpers. It's just the truth. And I mean a lot of guys I know, Teamsters, contractors, I mean a lot of guys, cops, firefighters, moderate Democrats who voted for Trump. They do not, and I'm serious about this, they do not appreciate or like Gainey's stance on immigration, and they don't like Cory O'Connor's, and they do not believe they can vote for him based on the statement he put out. In fact, one of my boys, this is actually fascinating, Greenfield guy, contractor, tree guy, Carlos, you've seen him. I think you've met him.
Yeah.
He calls me last night and said, F it. I'm not doing this. I'm not supporting him. I'm from Greenfield. He's from Greenfield. I'm running for mayor. And does he think he can win? No. But he's saying to hell with this. I'm kind of trying to get the temperature of this town in that regard. You know what I'm saying, Larry? There's no way a Republican can win. It's 5-1 Democrats versus Republicans. They just can't, Larry. Marino doesn't have 2 cents, and he's kind of weird. And this new guy, who knows what he is? No one even knows. This guy has no money. And so this is actually very interesting that it's kind of sort of what happened, right, with Trump, right? A lot of folks said, I want change. And that's the vibe in Pittsburgh. But they don't want, and again, I'm not speaking for all Democrats, of course. They don't want a guy they believe supports Ed Gainey's same theory on immigration. Don't mess with our immigrants. Leave us alone. We want peace and happiness. Even though Barack Obama deported more illegals than any president in American history. Not even close.
Over 3 million.
Yeah, it was 3.8. Crazy, Larry.
Quick question.
Yes, sir.
So somebody asked, so they rescinded or retracted this pause on the federal grants and loans from Washington. And somebody asked, well, does that mean they're pulling the offer to buy out federal employees and they're not related?
Well, hold on. This is actually a wonderful question, Larry, but there is no answer. In fact, the lawyers that I know that work at that level don't even know if that's legal, the buyout. And they don't even know where Congress would come up with the money. And historically, Larry, buyouts, what do they say, 10 to 15%, sometimes 20? It's a lot of people. It's a lot of money. But by the way, I get what Musk is trying to do. That's what big business does all the time. All the time. And it works.
But when you're dealing with a federal government, it may be a little different.
And, you know, you do a buyout in a business, let's say here. You write a big check up front, but you get rid of all the other stuff, the benefits and salary down the road. It's actually a win-win. And a lot of folks who are borderline, right, thinking about retiring in a year, they say, hell yeah, I'm out. And that would happen, believe me. 10 to 20% would leave.
But there would have to be some jobs where they'd have to get somebody else to do the job.
You would think,
to
brother.
To remain functional.
You would think, brother.
We'll see. All right, Marty Griffin. Get Marty coming up.